Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 21st. Joining us this morning, Mr. Supervisor Rex Bone. Howdy.
Hey, how are you doing?
Okay, you're looking a little tired.
I've been busy.
Yeah.
It has been busy and everything else.
Just normal stuff?
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of phone calls, a lot of just neighborhood things and people trying to address things, trying to get things fixed, and it's kind of hard for people to realize that I fully agree with you. They need to get fixed, but nothing works that quick.
Right.
So, and I wanted, and I really, for a lot of people, I wanted to give my condolences for Pop. I mean,
oh, appreciate
your dad was probably one of the, over the last 40-some-odd years, was one of the nicest men I've ever met. So
that was one of the cool things. We'll get into the show in a sec. Nice guy. Over and over and over. And it's kind of like nice confirmation that, you know, I mean, when it's your dad, it's like, well, yeah, that's normal.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, you get some of that kind of stuff.
From day one, I was involved with the truckers parade. And,
right.
You know, and that's.
Well, I thought you were going to say something about youth football back in the 60s.
No, Adrian Winters was my coach with the Golden Bears. I fully remember.
I had written down White Tornadoes.
Green Hornets. Hornets. Red Raiders.
Fred Whitmire
was
one of the kids that Dad had coached.
Yeah.
And then Johnny Kovacovic also.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, some of those things, and I guess – for me and you, I mean, you know, we're kind of geeks.
Yeah.
Losing that oral history.
Oh, it kills
me. And remembering, you know, because now it's weans instead of that, those guys that are plus 20. But
you're right. These people that, you know, I enjoy people when they move here and you try to explain people what, well, yeah, my dad used to own a grocery store. Where? I said, well, kind of where the daycare is. I said, really?
Huh?
And I yeah. I said, yeah, the biggest item we sold.
Played in the fountain?
The biggest item we sold was, besides joy to go in the fountain by people, which we quit selling, was loaves of bread so people could feed the ducks.
Duck pond, yeah.
And so, I mean, anyway, I loved them days.
Yeah, it's I think, what keeps a lot of us going, trying to recapture.
I get to drive by Dad's store every day.
Yeah.
And that's and there's
put a smile and there you go and you see it.
Best vision I ever had, and I have to say this, and I know this isn't part of the show, but we had one of those big machines, 8 little glass jars you could put your nickel in and get a ball or anything else.
Right.
And I remember Dad says, well, that's a moneymaker for me. And he'd go out and fill them every day, you know, in the morning. And I remember, hey, some lady tied her little horse to it, the little handle on the end where you rolled it in and out. I mean, it had concrete on the bottom. It was pretty heavy to move in and out. And a car went by and backfired. And I remember, I've never seen my dad run so quick. That horse kept, every time it hit legs, it jumped again. It was dragging it all over. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would be fun to get a bunch of folks together and just talk about it. You know, with Lazio dying also.
Yeah.
Don Miller dying. Yeah. I mean, a bunch of those fellas that.
Well, I always tell people,
there.
We're not going to have people. Don and Dick built a beautiful thing up in McKinleyville, and we're the start of, you know, of what went on up there. You've got, you know, your father in the radio business, Smallins, all those people. It's, you know, it's all major corporations now. I mean.
Yeah. Well, and it kind of throws the emphasis on us.
Yeah.
To remember and document somehow.
But I don't think our generation now is going to build the I don't see us building the heroes or the people we look up to like we looked up to the people above us. And I don't know. I'd like to think different. But
I suspect that there'll be a legacy for some. Yeah, but a lot. The cool thing is that it's now not neighborhood-based. It's countywide.
Yeah, and then that's
so it's the
social media thing. And stuff.
Yeah, just, we can get rid of that one real quick, too. All right. Are you ready for why do we say it?
As we regress.
Dry goods. Why are dry goods so-called?
Because they probably came in, when they came into the stores, they probably came in on the same wagon that was maybe hauling ice or something like that, and the dry goods went on top so they didn't get wet. I don't know.
Dry goods are so-called to differentiate them from the goods sold by the green grocer. The grocer sells things that are wet or dry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think potato chips. I don't know why, but yes, I do.
Old-time things, potato chips. That was the one thing you couldn't get after the 64 flood.
Right.
Because Bill Beckman
Beckman,
was
yeah.
the Laura Scudder distributorship, and he couldn't get them flown in. Everything was being flown in. He couldn't get them flown in because there was too much volume and not enough weight.
You say Laura Scudder's, it just flashed to, as long as we're doing the historic and nostalgic thing, Eureka Little League. Laura Scudder's was one of the teams. Dodd & Winters was
Winters.
One of the teams also.
Adrian Winters.
Seafood Grotto.
Seafood Grotto. Was Belchers. One. Belchers. Yeah. Daly's.
I don't think.
Belchers.
Well,
Daly's.
Native Sons are still around, and Eureka Volunteer Fire Department had one.
Yeah.
But those are probably the only two. Canhams. That was Eddie Canhams, Laidlaw and me Canhams, were on the same little Canhams.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think about some of the turnovers.
So we used to get our meat from was from Earl and up there, and Don Cloney's dad, worked
there.
And Cloney Field, and he worked at the store for Earl.
We got it with Dick Johnson at Norris Market.
Yeah, we actually went to Norris. We went to, when he went to Stanton's,
right?
And then he left there, we went to Canham's because the only thing we bought was some ground beef and a little bit of stuff for our little corner store since we'd have room.
Oh, okay. For the shop. We'd get the frozen boxes.
I mean, I was, I don't know. We sold it, so we'd have fresh. But I think I was 16 or 17 before I realized that meat wasn't gray and stuff like that when you cooked it, because that's what we brought home from the store. Right, we didn't sold. So
I think they call it age now.
Now it's a trend. I actually had somebody bring me two ribeyes and two New York strips the other night, dropping off at the house, and he says, "We've been aging these 54 days, Rex. You want to try them?" Like butter. Chris Naylor and his dad Jack are playing around with aging meat. So I was the beneficiary because he was delivering them to a neighbor. So I got a couple too. But I mean, it was like butter. So barbecued them and didn't hardly season them at all. And they were so good.
Yeah, it's amazing some of those types of things that are lost.
Yeah.
As there's turnover, and I don't know if it's because of the pace of life.
Yeah.
Or if we just have, we feel like there's so much stuff we have to do.
Everything instant.
Yeah, and time compression. Somebody makes a phone call to you. In the old days, it was a day and a half, 2 days. And now, if it's not within an hour, you get another call.
You okay? Yeah. They text you. You okay?
Right. Yeah. Right.
Just and then another hour, it's on Facebook. And he says, I think Rex may have passed away. I haven't heard from him in 2 hours. And then after that, they're having a funeral for you. Nothing's wrong with you.
Yeah,
I love social media.
Not these days. Yeah. That's an effigy. That's not a funeral.
Yeah.
KINS, news and information. We'll get into it. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, some of the different challenges that are out there, I suspect, and I don't know, Arnie Herskovic is the one who had pointed this out when Arnie was still here. Neighbor and all that kind of stuff. But he said, a lot of the studies we do were done before. They're just in a binder on a shelf and nobody remembers to look at them.
Oh,
and it's like, okay, so as we're kind of reflecting back on what was also, I firmly believe a lot of the solutions to the problems we're dealing with today have answers and were already addressed years ago. Maybe it wasn't completed, maybe it wasn't done, or maybe it was done, but in a different application. Whether it's community support or some of these different challenges, the answers are there if we just kind of pay attention.
And I think a lot of that, because I hear a lot of it because I talk with Dave Tyson a lot. He's one of my best friends. But a lot of the stuff that gets recycled, regurgitated, whatever, is something that's already been done. And sometimes they do a study on something like, would this work? And they look, oh, that'd be great. That'd be good. That'd work perfect. Yes. But it, we get the answer, and somewhere in there, there's a few people that don't like the answer, so it gets put on a shelf. And then all of a sudden, people come up and say, hey, you know, this sounds like a good idea. And it's you know, it's kind of like Jack Selvidge. And I mean, I just shouldn't use Jack's name is, but he talked about what
but a consultant does. But you did it already.
But,
so
what a consultant does, is yeah. a, you know, you talk yeah. about what a consultant does. And they kind of, you kind of look to get an answer that is aligns with you, if at all possible. And I think we see ourselves, if we don't get the right, one thing we're trying to do is, and I've been bringing it up for over seven years, is just have one central dispatch service.
Yeah, well, consolidated. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because we have trouble, you know, hiring dispatchers. We have trouble getting dispatchers. And now in this day and age, and with all this technology, and with especially with some of the dispatch fees going up for the fire departments and stuff like that, have a combined. So when you have a major issue, and one of the major issues when they had the Lawson incident up at Arcata, they were trying to call in more help. But it was a little convoluted because it goes to Arcata Dispatch and came into the sheriff's and it came in, you know, so it bounced around a little bit. Where if everybody was in the same room, separated and everything else, but everybody'd be on the same page.
Well, there's got to be efficiencies with staffing and a whole bunch of
things. I've never done dispatch, so I can't speak on that. But we've done a couple studies on it. We've got another one, but it's hard to get everybody to agree because then they have to give it up. And, you know, who does
the turf?
So you do a JPA and everybody oversees it. And I don't know if it'll work. I know we have another study that looks favorable, but it would save money.
If we get two fire departments together that are funded entirely differently, there's a way as long as everybody recognizes
it. But there are so many things along that route. And it's funny when we try to do something in the county, and I think it's a great idea. But I remember when the safety corridor, you know, between Eureka and Arcata, was about the safety of the people traveling on the highway, the safety corridor. It was, let's drop the speed to 50, let's do this. But every time it comes up now, it's more, we have more time and effort talking about the trail. How are we going to get the trail to mingle with that? And I think the trail's a great idea. I think it's going to be used. I'm a big supporter of it. But the other side is we've kind of lost our focus that out here on the highway is what we're trying to do. And I see they're getting ready. They're doing some upgrades out there now to get ready for that. But I've noticed that evolution over there. Because, that was brought up 20 years ago.
Oh,
so
I heard somebody talking about the rerouting of 101 through Eureka. It's like, okay, I remember
that
in the 70s.
Sailed. That ship sailed.
Purple, green, and whatever the other routes
that
were.
Ship
now
sailed.
Swinging it out in the balloon track, 4th Street instead of the goofy turn.
Remember the bridge?
Swinging
the bridge from the north spit to the south spit, just running straight out.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe those things are viable, maybe they're not. But, you know, it's almost like the county ought to have a historian, a position. And I know Don Tuttle had been. Listen to us.
Yeah.
Tuttle or, you know, some of those guys that had that historical knowledge where you can just kind of go, hey, what do you think about? Or was this tried before? And it would probably end up saving hundreds and hundreds of hours of others trying to find this.
Well, at least if they had that to use as a baseline.
Yeah, starting spot.
Because, I mean, you've got to say, there's a few more people, not a lot more people, over the last, you know, 50 years. I mean, we've gone up over the last 50 years, I think 25,000. So, I mean, considering over the last 50 years, 50 years ago, there were 14 million people in the state of California, and now I think we're at 40 million now, so we're not doing our part.
No, we're dragging anchor.
We're not doing our part, and I think everybody's somewhat pleased about that, but we've gone
through a lot of highs and lows. Depends on what industry you're in, baby.
Yeah. But, I mean, with that being said, I think if we use that as a baseline and then brought into the new technology and everything we have. So, I mean, there are efficiencies that sometimes that we sometimes miss, and it would be nice that, you know, we could bring those into the fold.
Yeah, somehow, some way, and I don't know. It can't be easy, but it would seem like it would be a worthwhile endeavor to try to do something along those lines, and, you know, somebody who would be semi-retired.
Well, you got to understand, the life expectancy, you know, the work expectancy of a county employee's 30 years because they're, you know, kind of, you know, that's usually what we get.
Right.
You know, we get a few over that, but most everybody's out between 20 and 30, you know. And so We lose that institutional knowledge.
Right.
I think the average length of a supervisor is like 9.7. I mean, so you lose that institutional knowledge, and they bring in their, you know, their own perceived knowledge. So it's kind of hard to reinvent that, but it's also, that's the advantage of being here for 60 plus right. years, is you remember, it says, didn't that, and you can, and thank goodness for, I guess, and be damned for Google and the internet now.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. If we could just get that accuracy thing figured out, it'd be right there. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor and old guy Rex Bone.
Yeah. Boy, tell me.
Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Some of the different challenges that are out there, I mean, are self-induced. You had the thing with the liquid propane.
Yeah.
You know, we hear about Hershey's chocolate, whether or not that would ever have happened. Yeah, some of these monumental gaffes, I guess, would be a good term. What do you see out there on the horizon now, Rex, that will be a monumental victory for the area?
You know, I think when we see the whole thing, I think the fish plant may have some. I mean, it's only a, and I use it to 100 jobs, you know, but they're good paying jobs. My economic development director, Scott Adair, has been working real hard on it. He found them to begin with and said, here, we have these things. I know they're having trouble back in Maine or wherever they're trying to go to. But they bring a lot to the table. I think they've started pulling permits, as a matter of fact, or at least, you know, going through the process. So I think that looks good. Offshore wind. I mean, I see where we have to spend $300 or $400 million, a lot of money to fix the docks up over there. To accommodate them, and from what I've seen, the payback is going to be, I hope we're not going to pay for that. We'll let that big corporation. I worry about, the big thing was with the Terrigen project, they didn't want big oil, they didn't want a big corporation here, and then we had the issue with the cultural lands.
Who else can afford it if it's not the big guys?
Well, it's Shell Energy, who we chased off once before, is the largest, one of the large investors in the new offshore wind. So, I mean, it has to be those. I'm just reiterating.
You and I don't have that kind of money.
I don't think nobody wants to see a tax bill, you know, saying, hey, we're going to underwrite it. But I think when we do that, we've got great wind. And that was proven with Terrigen, it was proven with Shell, and now it's being proved offshore, that we've got great wind, and we should take advantage of it.
Yeah, there's that opportunity.
Solar, not so much. Solar's great, but we just don't get enough of it.
Yeah, but does it pencil out anyway?
Yeah.
One of the things that I've had a lot of people start to get excited about is this data line, or the fiber optics from Singapore. That is, if there's a linchpin, that could be it.
That's the real deal. I'm on the broadband committee, and I've been working with the broadband group to, you know.
Now, how did they choose you for a broadband committee?
I was interested, and I was able to speak at the state, the assembly a few times, and the Senate a couple times on getting funding. We've got some of the funding for the 299 project, and things are working real well. Connie Stewart's a rock star on this. She's been the driving force. But if we can land that fiber optic line, that's clean line coming across, and the payback. And go institutional, remember 20 years ago when Tyco wanted to come here?
Yeah.
Tyco wanted to come here, bring 100 and some odd jobs, base out of here, to run their overseas lines. And they were looking at the, I think, the Schneider Dock property. But the one falling back we had, it wasn't a deal killer, but the rail was a part of the problem because they bring in those big reels.
Right.
But they could bring those in by ship, too. So that wasn't it wasn't a deal.
Yeah, you see those containers in a bunch of areas.
And Tyco had an issue, but it was kind of amazing how quick the payback was getting that clean. So we'd have we'd probably end up with cloud storage because cloud storage is a big energy user. So if we get the wind energy, the offshore wind energy, which eventually should, I mean, I know TerraGen was going to be, I think, 35% less than any of the power that RCEA bought. So, I mean, that's quite a drop. So we'd get cloud storage. We'd get things like that. So those are things we're having to throw out there. And I always remind people that we have to spend, you know, they're looking at infrastructure, you know, water infrastructure, all, you know, dock infrastructure and everything else. And we're talking about spending hundreds of millions of dollars over there on the peninsula. And I always remember, I said, you got to remember that there was 2,100 jobs over there at one time that were all living wage jobs, and we didn't work as hard as we could to keep them. I understand they weren't all the, you know, the pulp mills, but that brings up a whole different thing. But the sawmills, and right now, I don't know if we're going to have enough sawmills to cover all the wood that's been burnt.
Yeah. Are you hearing anything about salvage harvesting?
They're going to have to. I mean, I know some of the private companies lost quite a bit. You know, some of our local guys, they lost quite a bit. So they're going to have to get theirs back in. Forest Service is going to have to bring that stuff out, you know, stuff that they can salvage. I mean, there's going to be a lot of, and I imagine we'll have our proverbial lawsuits, and so the stuff that's only half burnt will hang and burnt be fuel for the next time. But as you know, with, you know, the winds we've had last week kicked everything back up, and, you know, it's you know, I told somebody the other day, I says, it's called the August Complex Fire, and we're well past the middle of October, yeah, for God's sakes. Yeah. So
pretty soon it's going to be the Halloween fire.
Yeah. So, I mean, and Cal Fire, Kurt McRae, he has done a yeoman's job, and I don't think he's been home in probably 2 months because we brought him back out of a fire out of the Central Valley to come back and manage this for Cal Fire. So Kurt's done a great job.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone. Rex, as we contemplate the future for Humboldt County, talking with a lot of folks, you're certainly in that same group of folks that talk, housing prices going up, pressures, demands, we've been discovered a little bit. My biggest fear with all of this, you know, yeah, the housing costs are going to go up, and job compensation may be associated with that, is that we're not ready for growth. We really aren't. I mean, we've got a segment of the population that is no grow, no way, no how. Okay, both sides of the political spectrum on that one, too. I think in the old days we used to say, close the gate at Richardson's Grove.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Are we ready? I mean, they're coming. We've had notice for the last 30 years that they're going to be coming, and we haven't done anything.
Well, and
other than fiber optics.
No, and I'll take a look back. Eureka and Humboldt Community Services, they did the Martin Slough project. So that's
You're right.
That's a big step because, I mean, I know a lot of people are gonna scream like hell and everything else, but I mean,
well, and Fortuna is done their thing, but like Oric,
but you know,
nothing has changed. Trinidad, nothing.
No, and Oric is. I always feel bad because they've got some great the Huffmans and.
Well, they got hammered with the parks.
They've got great. I remember I watched the truck that went back to Washington D.C. With the peanut saying,
"Boy, is that sucker shrunk?"
You know, and
then we're getting old.
Yeah,
that thing now looks like a peanut. Yeah,
but the only thing, you know, the park, it was going to do so much. And the only thing they do is they've built a, I always say that's what the problem with America is, and no offense against anybody, we've got that big, beautiful building surrounded by barbed wire that we built for the Park Service, and I noticed they had volunteers, they were calling for volunteers last weekend, or this weekend, to help side the school. And the school's from 1946, and I'm going, right. I mean, we're missing the point. The school's falling, you know, the school, and they've got a great group up there. I do an auction up there.
But there just isn't, you know, the ability for that community to do anything.
There hasn't been a lot of growth. You're exactly right. There's been deterioration, if anything.
Right.
So
those are the types of things that I look at because, you know, if somebody's coming here from somewhere else, the houses at Big Lagoon, they're going to be looked at. The houses at Stone Lagoon, wow, look, half an hour away. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. And yet, There really isn't the ability to take advantage of some of those.
Guys up in Oreck that are buying some houses and putting a lot of time, and some local folks putting time and effort bringing them back up. So I think
there's a couple of them.
And then we have, I mean, the housing controversial as it is, the housing that they're looking at, the McKay Ranch around the ball fields.
Well, and the big deal out at Ridgewood also.
Well, the big thing at Ridgewood is they wanted to build that 300,000 square feet of retail before they built their housing, and they wanted that to be the lead to support the housing, but they didn't want to put sidewalks in. The property's for sale.
Oh, okay.
There's two parcels up there.
So it's really starting over then.
It's going to be square one. So I mean, I could, you know, but I mean, I always tell people the McKay Ranch is, I don't know, 250-300 homes or whatever. But you have to remember, the first house sold in Lombard Hills in 1965, and it was scheduled for 240, and I think they still have lots.
Yeah, I think there's three or four of them.
So I think it has to get another ingress egress before they let them build. But the McKay Ranch will be, if it does build out, they talk about the traffic and everything else, and I says, you know, by the time they actually get through all the process and start building, where it becomes, there's going to be so many different avenues and roads, I believe, because the Cutton's going to have to do something. We're going to have to find some way.
Yeah, Walnut is just too small.
I'll probably get hung for this, but I just really think a roundabout on the end of Elk River Road where it comes into Herrick there, right there. I think a roundabout there would be great, because the biggest problem is for people coming from Cutton that work on that end of town or in Fortuna, the only reason they don't do is when you get to that stop sign right there.
You're there for a while.
It's hard because they come off the hill so fast. You've got people coming from 101 both ways coming onto that over the bridge. It's just a mess right there. So I mean,
how about a signal light?
It's hard to do on a three way. It's just the volume of traffic on Herrick does not meet the traffic on Elk River. There's got to be a balance.
But you got the going across the bridge, coming off the highway, going onto the highway, and then I think of other communities that have got overpasses.
And to tell you, I hate roundabouts. People in Europe love them. I don't hate them, but I'm not in Europe. They're hard to do, but they do work. I mean, I go off the one in Arcade all the time, and I hated that one, but I realized, wow, you don't normally have to stop.
You don't play the game like on old Arcata.
Go turn left instead of right. No,
no, no, no. How straight can you go? Okay, a lot of people do that. Yeah. All right, bud. Time for us to go. Thanks for coming by.
Appreciate the time. Always happy.
See you everybody tomorrow.